Welcome back. Hour number two of Talk Line on the Metro News Radio Network in and around the great state of West Virginia. Hoppy Kirchhoffel with you. And again, the developing story here this morning, which is not good news, is that Chesapeake Energy, which is probably the largest independent oil, largest independent gas driller in America, I would think.
I believe it is.
Yeah, I think they are. Is which is headquartered in Oklahoma City, and just less than 2 years ago, they made a big announcement here. They were making a big investment. And they were going to build an eastern headquarters in Charleston. Well, that fell apart. May of last year, I think it did. And then, now today, the announcement of the 255 people who are employed at the Charleston office. They're going to eliminate all but 40. Some are going to be dispatched to Oklahoma City, which is the company base, and some are simply going to lose their jobs and be reassigned elsewhere. So this is a pretty big blow to the West Virginia economy and certainly to Charleston. More on our website at wvmetronews.com, wvmetronews.com. In a related way, I guess you could say, there is a debate going on here in the legislature. It's come up a couple years prior, and it's moving to the forefront this year, and it's about the rights of the surface owners of property in West Virginia where they do oil and gas drilling. And there are literally hundreds of wells in West Virginia. There are certain rules that are established about what the drillers have to follow. But there's also an organization that has come up that said that the property owners actually need more rights. Joining us to give us two sides of this, Dave McMahon, who's with the West Virginia Surface Owners Rights Organization. Dave, good morning. Good to see you. How are you?
Good morning, Hoppy. Thanks.
All right. And also with us is Corky DeMarco, who's with the West Virginia Oil and Natural Gas Association. Corky, good to see you. How are you?
Morning, Hoppy.
Dave, what do you want?
Well, we need to have some understanding of the basic problem, which is that in West Virginia, one person can own the surface and somebody else owns the minerals, or somebody owned the surface and the minerals and did a lease a long time ago, so they have no control over the drilling that's going to happen on their property. And the problem is that driller has the right to do whatever is fairly necessary to the surface owner. But there's no way right now for surface owners to enforce that existing right.
Well, give me a day-to-day, a real-life example of what you think constitutes a level of abuse by certain drillers that would constitute the need to tighten things up.
Typically, people call me and say, hey, I found a survey stake out on my land, and I'm trying to call around and find out. Somebody says they're going to drill a well on my land, and no one's talked to me first. Or that you may not see the survey stake, and all you get is a notice in the mail that says the driller's applied for a permit, and they've already surveyed and decided where everything's going to go, and you can comment on how the road is built but not where it's built.
Corky, give me your first reaction to that, then we'll dig in a little deeper.
Well, Hoppy, I'd like to start with the fact that the majority of the people that I represent in the production end of the business are not the owners of the minerals. They are working for the mineral owner. And, you know, I think as this debate continues, I think the other party that's not been part of it thus far has been those people who own those minerals. And right or wrong, minerals were severed from the land estate in the state of West Virginia as a practice, you know, hundreds of years ago. And you may have an area of the state where it's rich in minerals, where the landowner owns the land only,
right,
or has come in and bought the land, or
and somebody owns the minerals beneath it.
His family at some point in time sold those minerals.
Right.
You know, now whether it's right or wrong, there are laws on the books that give the mineral owners certain rights. There are laws on the books that give the surface owners certain rights. And there's also laws on the books that we as production companies must adhere to also.
But what Dave is saying, and we'll get back to Dave, is that those laws don't go far enough, and you end up with surface owners who may be unaware of what's going on their property, or as Dave said, you find survey stakes or somebody's coming on the property, and they have no or little notice.
Okay. I would offer to you that that's not the norm. I represent people who go out of their way to appease the surface owner, work with the surface owner from the very beginning so that they know what their rights are, where we would like to put a well. Oftentimes it's not where they want the well, or they want the road to go to the well. And so that's negotiated. And to the accommodation of those people, generally.
Dave, is the norm cooperation?
But certainly lots of drillers do go out first and talk to people. Maybe most, I don't know. I bet they don't hand the surface owner a copy of the statutes that tells them about the rights to get compensation, et cetera, like we would have our bill do. But there are an awful lot of people give us calls that they just see the survey stakes. They just see the they just get the notice in the mail. Or this one fellow, he saw the surveyor come onto his land, and the surveyor said, I've been told to survey a well site right here. And the guy says, well, that's a future home site. And the surveyor just says, well, not now. And that's an abuse of and
well, let me ask you. Let's say that I own the surface rights, okay, and somebody else owns the mineral rights below. And one day, would it just happen that one day potentially somebody, I could see somebody out in the field and they're putting in survey stakes, and I would not know that's taking place, or there'd be a survey
right.
to see where a road is.
That's right.
Or can that happen now? And is that a problem, Corky, in your view?
That can happen, Hoppy. We'd like to think that it's minimal. But there are rights that the surveyor has in the laws that regulate surveyors, that they can come on properties and do surveys without notice.
Let me respond to something else you talked about, the mineral owner's interest in this, because he's right there. Somebody owns the surface, somebody else owns the minerals, and generally the mineral owner signed the lease to the driller. So it's not actually the mineral owner that comes on the land, it's the driller. But we don't think anything in our bill affects the mineral owners. We're not going to stop the drilling of wells. We're not going to greatly slow down the drilling of wells. We're not going to make them that much more expensive. Mineral owners are not going to be affected. They're still going to get their royalty. If you read the papers, the mineral owners have a lot more conflicts with the drillers than they do with the surface owners.
So the mineral owners are not going to be affected, Corky?
I beg to differ with that, Hoppy, because I think that some of the things that are in this bill would certainly slow down our abilities to extract minerals.
As an example?
As an example, there's a 60-day notice that we have to give.
Before what?
Before we can drill, and then there's another period of time that if there's a conflict between where we want to put a well and where the surface owner wants the well, they can have another extended period of time.
Why is a 60? What's the notice now? What do you have to give now?
15 days.
15 days. 15 days.
15 days, but that 15-day notice, they've already surveyed and selected the road and well site.
Say again.
15 days notice, but at that point they've already selected and surveyed the well site and the well road location.
Okay.
It's 15 days, Hoppy, when the permit's sent.
Before the rig comes in.
Yeah. Right.
All right. So you got to give 15 days notice before the rig comes in. Why is 60 days? In your view, Corky, of the Oil and Natural Gas Association, why is 60 days onerous?
Well, first of all, there aren't, except maybe right now because of the economy, there aren't rigs sitting around. So you try to schedule rigs to come in. Most production companies don't own their rigs. They contract with other people to bring them in. They try at their very best to keep those rigs on a rotating basis, because once they no longer have a contractor, once that rig's sitting there, in either case, it's costing thousands of dollars a day for that rig to be not working. And so what we try to do is we try to keep those rigs rotating so that if you have a contract for X rig for 90 days during the summer of 2010, that rig's working all those
days. So it's a financial issue.
Absolutely.
It's a financial issue. Dave, does he have a point?
I don't think so. I think it's a timing issue. All he has to do is start 60 days earlier in planning where the well site is, and he's fine. And remember, that well is going to be there for decades. That current surface owner's grandchildren are going to be looking at that well. It doesn't seem too much to ask him to plan 60 days further in advance about to come and talk to us, give us a copy of the code sections, give us some negotiating, maybe go to a mediator. But just 60 days wait.
Hoppy, if 60 days was appropriate, and in 60 days was something that folks had thought about, there would be a rule right now, or a law right now, that says 60 days works. The DEP regulates us. The DEP's got 15 days in there, right or wrong, that's what it is. The complaints that they get, and I've gone through every complaint for about 4 years or 5 years worth of data that they get, there might be 2,000 complaints. Of those, the industry is probably 25% of those because of self-reporting, and the rest of them are all over the board. I don't have any problem with us sitting down with the landowner and talking about placement of wells and those kinds of things. That should be done And we think it should be done long before the permit's put in.
Is that in the, do you have an issue with placement of the wells?
Well, again, the mineral owner is allowed to do whatever is reasonably necessary. But in West Virginia, you can move wells a couple hundred feet. We have what's called stratigraphic traps, not structural traps. I don't want to get too technical, but you know, if there's a place where someone's planning for a home site, they can move that well a couple hundred feet, and it's not going to make that much difference on whether they hit or not. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, yeah. What else, other than the notification, Dave, is there anything else in there of particular interest that you think is significant?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people would like to have free gas, and that's pretty rare, though you hear about it a lot. It would have to either been...
The surface owner.
The surface owner would like to have free gas from that well that gets put on his land.
Okay.
But unless it was in the deed when minerals and surface were separated, or unless it was in the lease, they don't have it. So we think, if you're going to put a well on our land, at least let us buy gas. Whatever Corky's people are selling it to somebody else for, we'll pay that. Let us get gas from the well. We'll put in the pipelines. We'll sign a liability waiver. Let us at least buy gas from the well on the land.
Corky, what about that?
Well, that sounds like a simple thing to do, Hoppy, but you know, it's really a lot more complicated than that, and there's a lot of liability that goes with these things. You know, in a lot of cases, this gas has got hydrocarbons in it. It's not stripped out when it comes off of the well.
So you can't just take it from the wellhead to the house?
In some locations, it's absolutely you cannot do it. In other locations, you may be able to do it. The other thing that compounds this problem for us, in addition to the liability, and, you know, we're a very litigious state here, so we're very sensitive to the liability. We also got a situation with the Public Service Commission. If we allow free gas, or we allow a special situation for gas to be given to landowners, and we do this for more than 25 individuals, we now become a utility in the eyes of the Public Service Commission. So that's a whole new group.
Is that
of
a problem, Dave, or do you think?
I think we put a provision in the bill that exempts these wells from being regulated by the PSC. And you're right. He's right. Free gas is, the gas out of the well has some complications, but you know, in most cases they can be solved. And I understand that it's a problem for them because, you know, they don't have the crew out there to maintain gas service like a utility does. And the people that get the gas out of the well need to understand that. They need to have their own way to heat their home if the gas goes out. But
let me propose something crazy. What if you said instead of 15 days or 60 days, could you live with another number, Corky? Could you live with 30 days? Could you live with 30 days, Dave?
We may be able to. I can't say today, Hoppy. I haven't sat down with our board, and certainly there's another oil and gas association in the state, which would have to sit down with their members and talk about.
You might be willing to compromise on the 15 days?
There may be interest, there may not.
Dave, would you compromise on the 60?
Well, yeah, I think 60 is not set in stone, but there's a lot of other things that would have to go in any compromise like that.
Okay. Just make a final point. I got a break, but Dave, make a final pitch for your surface owner rights bill, and then Corky, make a final rebuttal, and we'll follow this throughout the session.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Corky talked about the complaints, and there are lots and lots of people are complaining to the legislators. They're complaining to us about the abuses, and not every driller is out there is abusive. Some of them do, but you know, for those people, a lot of those people say, you know, there's nothing in this bill we can't comply with. We don't mostly do already.
Corky?
Hoppy, I'd like to say that the industry, at the invitation of the Farm Bureau and some other groups throughout the state, I mean, we've been out there. We've listened over the last 8 or 9 or 10 months to some of the concerns that people have, and I don't want to overemphasize the fact that, you know, we are listening. We have done some things. We've now prepared a door hanger, which a land person can leave behind if somebody's not home and they can't contact them. We've also developed a document of best practices. And it's in a best practices document that's going to be shared with the industry. The two boards, again, will be approving those things very, very quickly. And I think, you know, one of the important things we need to look at is some of the things that you just spoke about, the situation with Chesapeake, where there's 250 jobs and now there's 25 jobs. You know, a lot of that has to do with our ability just to do business in the state of West Virginia. And I'm not suggesting that everybody's perfect. This is not a perfect world. People speed on the interstates. People do all this kind of stuff. But we try very, very hard to work with these landowners. And I get a little bit upset because I think sometimes out of every lawsuit, and I go back to the Taney decision, outcrops another cottage industry.
All right. I got to go on this. Dave's bill number, what's the bill number?
Ah, good question. 374.
374?
Senate Bill 374.
Senate Bill.
374, and there will be one in the House shortly.
Okay, and we'll follow it, okay?
All right. Thank you, Hobby.
Thank you, Dave McMahon with the West Virginia Surface Owners Rights Organization and Corky DeMarco with the West Virginia Oil and Natural Gas Association. Thank you both for coming on.
Thanks, Hobby.
All right, good debate. We'll take a break and be back. 1-800-765-8255.